I'm Mike Vardy, and this is the Productivityist Podcast.
Thanks for joining me this week, everybody. I'm Mike Vardy, and this week we have another Pearson on the show. So if you've been listening to the back catalog, we have Jonathan Pearson on the show this time around. We had Taylor Pearson on the show before, and they are two very distinctly different people. But Jonathan is he's a pastor. He's the co-creator of MillennialLeader.com, and he's written a new book called The Productive Pastor Handbook. So he's a pastor, and he's a productivity fan. And there's nothing I like more than, as you know, sitting down with somebody who is into productivity and being able to talk about not only how they kind of approach their work and their lives and all that stuff, but also how they do it in their particular vocation. And a pastor, obviously, is a specific vocation that we haven't really touched on here before. So we're going to dive in. So this is it. This is the episode here. You're going to hear me and Jonathan talk, and I'll be back after we have our discussion to wrap things up. So again, thanks for listening and enjoy the show. And thanks for joining me on the show today.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
I've had a chance to give your book a bit of a one-star. I haven't dived in, you know, and it's funny, the last few interviews I've had with authors, I'm like, if you read the book, I'm kind of doing the Jon Stewart thing. No, I haven't really read the book in its entirety, but the title, the Productive Pastor Handbook, is it drew my attention right away because you're obviously a productivity fan. You want to make sure you get more done and more out of life. So tell me, first off, what compelled you to kind of put this out there? Because, I mean, there are a lot of productivity books out there, maybe not so much that have the pastor element to it. So, like, what elements of that are going to be critical for people who are picking this up? Like, if they're a pastor or if they're, you know, whatever, like, how can this translate not just to people who are in that kind of vocation as well as people outside of that vocation?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, I think a lot of us and most of the people that listen to your podcast are probably leaders of some sort. And so, you know, good leaders, I mean, it's widely known inside and outside of the church, quote unquote, that good leaders impact people. And so one of the things that I wanted to do with the Productive Pastor Handbook is, of course, hit the niche of pastors, because I think there's a lot of pastors out there overwhelmed, but just leaders in general that are overwhelmed with all they have to do. But at the end of the day, our goal as good leaders is to impact people. You know, no matter what you do, no matter what your business is, no matter what you're leading, at the end of the day, you want to impact people. And that's what a good leader does. They have that heart to change lives and to impact people into better society and better culture around them. And so really where this kind of conversation started was based on that idea is how can we organize the stuff that we have to do, which we all do stuff that we don't want to do, but that we have to do, the task, the menial stuff, the repeating stuff, that sort of stuff. How can we best organize that so that we can get to the end of the day to really influencing and affecting people and changing people's lives? Because, I mean, the fact is that no matter what you do, you have that stuff that you do on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, that you don't necessarily want to do, but it's a necessary evil. And so the better we can organize that stuff and the better we can organize the people stuff, the more impact we can have on those people. So that's really where it came from, you know, just an idea of, hey, I want to be most efficient with my time. I want to make the most impact with people, and I only have that limited time. So how can I best organize and how can I best produce to maximize on that?
Well, and you've divided this book up into several sections, you know, the idea of here's where I was and here's where I, you know, where I found myself, then into the tools, which we'll get to, and the Patreon supporters are going to hear the tools or the specific tools and apps that you use, because I think that's something that that everyone wants to get a sense of. And if you're a Patreon supporter, then yes, you're going to hear that. If you're not, then, well, you know, I mean, at the end of the show, obviously, I'll share with you how you can do that. But I want to talk a bit about the workflow. You've got this productivity SOP that you talk about. So can you dive into that a little bit with our listeners to kind of say, hey, here's the kind of the process that I undertake when I want to, you know, get more of those right things done?
Sure. I mean, you know, don't want to go too in depth. You got to read the book, man.
So give them the elevator pitch. Absolutely.
Yeah, no. I'm certainly not here just to sell books. it's really, I mean, it's nothing revolutionizing. I think for us that love productivity, and a lot of your listeners are just productivity junkies, which is myself. We kind of know that process a little bit. It's centered kind of around that GTD idea, which I hear you just left, by the way. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and so, you know, it's just kind of a productivity SOP, S-O-P. The S is start. Really, when we're organizing anything, our project, a big project, a small project, a family project, we have to start. And so the start is the initial creation of the project and the dumping of the task into that. And so what I encourage people to do is when you open up a new project, just dump every thought you can think of, everything that you may have to do during that project, at least that you know about up front, and dump it in there. And start also includes those inbox tasks, those things that you're just thinking of as you go throughout the day, you're laying in bed at night. Just start. That's the first part of productivity is just starting. I think there's so many people out there that are so overwhelmed with what they have to do and with this productivity workflow conversation. I mean, it can sound really convoluted, but really just start. Start by listing out those tasks and dump those somewhere where they're safe, where your mind doesn't have to continually run through that mind loop that we talk about a lot. And then the O is organize. Once you have your task in your inbox, once you've started your project, you've dumped all those tasks in there, then you can start to kind of drag them around and organize them. And one of the tools, and I know that we don't want to give all of them away right now, but one of the tools that I use is Todoist. I know you've been a Todoist user in the past too. And one of the great things about Todoist is it allows you to drag tasks. And so you can just click on them. You can kind of organize them as long as you don't have any kind of urgency listed with them. But you can organize them however you want to. And so the organize is what do I have to get done first? What do I have to do second? What do I have to do third? What can I give away? What can I give to somebody else? You know, that sort of thing. And then the P is produce, get it done. One of the things that my mind gets overwhelmed with sometimes when I start a new project, and I do a lot of different little things, is when I look at this new project that I have to do. For me, it can be an event, it can be a staff retreat, you know, whatever it may be. I look at this project and I'm just overwhelmed with the amount of stuff that I have to do, even if I've done it before. And so that productivity SOP really helps with that, because I can, once I begin to list those steps out individually, I may not be able to organize an entire staff retreat today, but what I can do is I can make a call and get prices for hotels. What I can do today is I can make a call and make dinner reservations. And so once I begin to check those tasks off, then the project's not quite so overwhelming. And so for me as a pastor, one of the things that people in my kind of field, I think a lot of times we're so people-focused that we completely miss getting things done. And so a big project like that seems so overwhelming. But really, it's just about starting, it's about organizing, and it's about producing.
Now, one of the things I do want to touch on in terms of tools is you do mention Evernote in the book. Now one of the things that I found at your blog, and I'll put the link in the show notes, of course, is the idea that, and you and I share this, is that Evernote is not ideal for task management. Now, I've talked about why I don't believe it is in a manner of speaking. What's your thoughts on it? Because I think Evernote in the right use cases is an incredibly invaluable tool, but in the wrong use cases, it can become a real detriment to your productivity.
Yeah, the thing that I do not like about Evernote is partly it's the time that it takes for me to put a task into it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the things I love about, I'm an iOS user, and so that's one of the things I love about the new widgets is that I can just simply hit my phone, scroll down, and I can click and be in Todoist in a heartbeat. And so if I'm in Evernote, I've got to find the right notebook. I've got to, even if I'm kind of that limited notebook idea, which I'm not, I use a lot of different notebooks, probably need to get that fixed. But but I have to search for the right notebook. I have to enter enough to get below the last task that I did, so it'll be in order. And then, I mean, there's just not a lot of flexibility there. And so to me, by the time I have to do all that, I could have probably done the task. But also, I mean, I've just kind of lost the enthusiasm and can sometimes even lose that that task that was in my head.
Well, and the structure it's not ideal. The structure isn't there. I mean, yeah. I know. I mean, you and I could probably look at it and say, okay, well, reminders. There's that. There's this. We know that Todoist links up to Evernote now. You know, there's some components
which is not going well, apparently.
No, it's not as seamless as they would like. But I think that's goes to show, and I think this is something you allude to in your book, is that, you know, you're the driver. Like, you can't, I like automation to a point, but when you rely too heavily on it, then it will collapse. You need to be the one that drives it. You need to be, like you said, you need to be the leader. You need to be the one that says, okay, you know what? If I want to store stuff in Evernote, I'm just going to, you know, like for example, right now I'm working, as we record this, I'm working on a small product as part of the Gumroad Small Product Labs kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I have a task in there called make measured progress on this. It's not even a very specific task. It's just work on product every day. And in there, I have in the comments section, I have the links to the Evernote notebook.
Right. Yes.
But I manually copy and pasted those. Like, that's what you have to do. And I think that when you do that, at least you know that you could. And I think this is related back to all productivity practice. If you know that that's been taken care of, then you can take care of the things that matter, as opposed to worrying about whether something's going to break or not. Right.
Right. And I think a lot of times us is kind of. Productivity people, if mm-hmm. you consider yourself one of those. Sometimes we get so caught up in structuring ourselves and creating the most automatic workflow and that sort of stuff that sometimes that almost becomes the detriment to us actually getting stuff done and us actually being productive. You've heard of the people that change task lists and change task productivity systems so often that all they're ever doing, they're spending their time dumping new tasks into a new system. But I think all of us can get that way to some extent because we see a new app, we see something new, and we're like, oh, I want to take advantage of that. Oh, this integrates with this now. I want to figure that out. Because to be honest with you, when Todoist first announced the Evernote integration, my first thought was, okay, I have to create all of these notebooks so that I can do this, so that I can make this work. And what I found myself doing was convoluting my system that I already had that was pretty productive. Now, if there's something that is going to make it a lot better, I'd say go for it. But I found myself having to stretch too far to make that work. And that's just not a good thing.
Yeah, you need to really look at the integrations and kind of figure out, okay, how will this affect the overall structure? I mean, for example, I've started to use IFTTT for a few things, and same with Zapier. Yes. So I've started to use some automation, but it needs to be done in a specific way. Like, you know, so if we have a sale, there's a Stripe can talk to IFTT, which then sends it to a Google Doc or something like that.
Right.
Like, that's helpful for my wife because my wife says, oh, we just, you know, something just came in and now it's in the spreadsheet. So when bookkeeping comes down to it, it's all there. So, I mean, there are definitely some bonuses to automating certain things, especially when it comes to email, and I want to talk a little bit about email in a second because it keeps you out of email. But I think that ultimately, and I've talked about this before, you want to focus on the approach, not the app, because the apps come and go. They change. They get acquired, all that stuff. So, I mean, who knows? Todoist down the line could get acquired by somebody. You know, I mean, sure. Wunderlist got acquired by Microsoft. Who's to say Todoist won't get acquired by Google or something like that?
Would not be surprised at all.
Would not be surprised. So let's talk a little bit. There's a couple things I want to touch on because I don't want to, obviously, I want people to buy the book. So I want, but what I want to do is I've been looking at your blog. I've struggled with fitness, even though, and I've tried, and I keep trying several different ways. And actually, as we're recording this, it's in mid-June as we're recording this. And I'm, 2 weeks away from hitting my 41st birthday. I need to get back into that workout routine thing. And you've got a post about the T25 workouts.
Uh-huh.
That I have T25. I like the idea of T25, and I've written about this because of the Pomodoro technique. So why? What have you learned? Like, obviously the blog post is there, but how have you been able to maintain with all the stuff you've got going on? I mean, how are you able to maintain that fitness routine? Because that's something that I still struggle with to this day.
Well, that post is a little old. And so I've actually completed T25 now. I actually use another app for working out now. I'll just kind of throw that out.
Which one?
It's called FitStar. And what it does is it's a T25. It's kind of like that, but it's an app, and it kind of adjusts. It asks you after every exercise, you know, was this too hard? Was this too easy? Was this just right? And how much of it was you actually able to complete? And what it does is it has an algorithm where it slowly moves you forward. And so, you know, my workout used to take 20 minutes takes 27 minutes now or something like that because it's adjusting to me. But to answer your question, I mean, I calendar that. I calendar that every day, and my time is actually 4:00, and so 4:00 local time, and so I do. I calendar that, and what I like is I can only spend about 30 minutes working out, and so I calendar it every day from 4 to 4:30, and that I actually do have an if this then that recipe, that anything I put on my calendar automatically gets put into my inbox in Todoist. And so it actually, it sits on my calendar and in Todoist. And so I'm just one of those people where I'm not blessed with incredible metabolism. And so, and so I have to do it, number one. But
I'm 41 now. It doesn't quite, it doesn't hold up over time.
That's what they say. That's what they say. Unfortunately, I'll never get to experience that change. But anyway, and so, you know, it's one of those things where it's just, you know, it's first off, it's personal discipline. But also, I mean, I calendar it and I check it off every day too. And there's something, I talk about this actually in that Evernote post. Evernote task. There's something good about checking off a task. I don't care how many times you've done it. I don't care how easy it was or how hard it was. There's something good about checking that task off. So I hate to see, and I actually have that as a priority two task in Todoist, but I hate to see those sitting there, especially those higher priority kind of tasks. So
well, you've got that IFTT recipe. So I want you to make sure you share that with me in the show notes so that way others can grab it, because you're right. I mean, I love putting things in the calendar that need to be done, but if I see it in both places, that could be the trigger. Do you know what I mean? I haven't tried both. I've honestly done like it's in my task list and then it just stays there if it doesn't. But then ultimately the calendar's where important stuff should wind up.
Yeah.
But
and I'm a big advocate for anything with a specific time limit being on your calendar and not in your to-do list. But there's something for working out especially. And that's really the only one that I have like that I keep in there like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about seeing that now the if this then that recipe that dumps calendar events in the Todoist, it actually helps too, because I can see at the beginning of the day my appointments for the day, whereas I don't necessarily check my calendar every morning, but I can at least see those
those people who are struggling moving from the calendar to Todoist or to, you know what I mean? Like, because a lot of people are checking email first thing in the morning, it can further reinforce them to open up Todoist first thing and see stuff there. So that's why. So I'd love to get that recipe. We'll share that with people in the show notes. Now, we're gonna shift gears now. And for those who are listening to the Patreon edition, you're going to get the app stuff. And for those that aren't, just stick. We're going to just jump into something else. So let's shift back to what's the feedback been on the book so far? Like you've had the book out for, when did the book come out?
The book came out at the beginning of last month. So
beginning of May, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, we were recording this in June. So yeah, it came out at the beginning of May and the feedback's been really good. I mean, I've had, you know, several people, send emails, that sort of thing. And I'm one of those, I probably open myself up too much, but I kind of have let, you know, everybody have access or whatever. But I've gotten a lot of emails, a lot of Twitter direct message, that sort of stuff of a lot of people that you know have said, you know, I've been waiting for something like this and that sort of stuff. So I mean that's the most rewarding part. I mean, I'm certainly not gonna get rich off of an ebook or anything like that, and so that's not the goal. But it's been good, and it's something I'm proud of. I mean, it's not that. It's not a, you know, full-fledged how to start with zero and end up a productivity genius. That's certainly not it. It's more of a field guide kind of thing where I wanted it to be practical. I wanted it to be simple for that person that isn't organized at all at this point, and that person that is but is looking to sharpen it some, not overwhelm themselves with new apps, but to kind of sharpen and hone in on the productivity workflow. So that was really the goal, and I've been really pleased with the feedback.
Well, I mean, one of the things you talk about in the book, you know, when you're talking about the reality of the situation, you say, you know, it's easy to dismiss productivity methods and ideas and sacrifice them on the altar of being too busy to get organized, but it really is important, and I can't stress enough. I mean, that's true. Most people are so busy doing that they're not busy doing the right things, or they're not busy putting themselves in a position to do those things better. So I hope that, and you've also, with the book, the great thing is that you have a bunch of stuff that you're offering. I'll put that in the show notes. But I mean, you just don't get the handbook. You'll get like some worksheets if you want, a group call, all that stuff.
Yeah, the worksheet, the daily SOP, which we talked about a little earlier, the daily worksheet is actually one of those people. If you're still an analog kind of person that loves to write stuff down and loves to cross stuff off and that sort of stuff, those would be really valuable for you. That may actually be worth the cost of the entire package. Something that you can reuse over and over every day, print off as many as you want. It has a place for you to write the date and to kind of start from scratch. And so anyway, so that's a pretty valuable tool. Something I'm excited about, because that was one of the questions I got, and I'm sure you get that too. You know, when it comes to productivity, we talk so much about software, mm-hmm. software, app. Well, what about me? I want to do this manually. And so, you know, what can I do and how can I organize it? And this really makes some steps towards that and really helps.
And actually, it's interesting. That's one of the big things that came up during my workshop was paper. Paper always comes up because paper, I think, is very valuable in a lot of cases. I was reading an article in Time magazine, and I'll put it in the and I think there was actually one in the New Yorker where they talk about how Moleskins are the darlings of the startup world, and Time talks about why you should write it down and all that stuff. So, I mean, there are definitely valid points to sticking with paper.
Yes, definitely.
And especially for capturing, like especially for those moments where it's just like, I don't want to look like I'm tweeting and so entering something into Drafts, even though Drafts is a great tool to capture stuff. Sometimes it's great just to pull out a Baron Fig notebook or something like that and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to write this down, and that way it shows it's important.
Yeah, my problem is I never can remember where I wrote it down at. And so if I don't have that one spot for it, then I can.
Yeah, and again,
I get it out of my head. But that's a personal. Yep. We have to find our own system, and that's one of the things I caution about too. Is, you know, don't take this system necessarily. You can kind of eat the fish, leave the bones, kind of thing. You know, you don't try to take somebody else's way of doing things and make it fit into you. You got to be productive the way you think and the way you are. The key is just to be productive and get it done and impact people.
And on that note, let's wrap things up. So, Jonathan, where can people find the book and you on the World Wide Web?
You can on the interwebs. You can find me at jonathanpearson.net, and the book is theproductivepastor.com. Theproductivepastor.com.
Awesome. And on Twitter, you've got a Twitter handle?
I'm just at Jonathan Pearson. I was an early adopter and got the name. So
awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much for joining me. Everyone go out and pick up this book. I mean, like you said, alone for it's $6 for the handbook, and you get the toolbox. You get the worksheets, screencast video, all that stuff for $40, which I think is a great deal because the group call, the screencast. I mean, the thing I like about what you're putting here too is that your pricing is aligned with the way I think, which is helping people. You know what I mean? You know?
Yeah, if you give stuff away, people think it's crap. If you have to charge some. Certainly, spend time and effort on that. But I didn't. I certainly didn't want to put it out of reach of people either.
There you go. So check it out, Jonathan. Thanks so much for joining me this week on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks, everybody.
And that wraps it up. So you can head over to Jonathan's website. It's jonathanpearson.net, or go to churchmag.press/productive-pastor. Of course, these links are in the show notes. And you can pick up Jonathan's book, The Productive Pastor Handbook, which has not just the book, but there's also several tiers that we talked about during the show. That's it for this week. I want to thank you all for your support. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave me a rating and a review in iTunes or your podcast aggregator of choice, because it helps people find the show. And also, if you are interested in helping out the show monetarily, head over to patreon.com/productivityist. There are several perks involved for those who contribute to the show in that regard, including a bunch of things regarding, like the new Night Owl action plan that I've just created. You'll get that if you contribute at the $5 level or above. And if you are contributing at the highest level, then you'll get 20 minutes with me of productivity as coaching. So there's lots of reasons to look at that as well. But until next week, and as we're recording this, I am getting ready to celebrate my birthday. And then after that, head off to the World Domination Summit. And that's what we're going to have in the next episode. We're going to have a lot of stuff directly from the World Domination Summit. So I'm really excited about that. Again, thanks so much for taking the time to have me as part of your day. And we will speak to each and every one of you and a few more next week. Until then, keep moving things forward.